when you were doing research for the book Apocalypse, you must have been amazed at the things you were starting to uncover about the Mayan civilization, I bet.
I was, and I'd just like to take this opportunity to express a little bit of disappointment. Mel Gibson's movie Apocalypto is perhaps the only acquaintance that many people will have with the Mayan culture, and I felt that it was gory and stupid.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to see that when I get back to L.A. I just haven't had time here in St. Louis.
It left one with the impression that they were bloodthirsty savages, and Lord knows they had that side to them, as do we. But it just... It just was disappointing. But that's an aside. I was shocked and amazed, as we discussed earlier, about just the precision of their astronomy. And I am talking about astronomy and not astrology, which are, you know, very different fields. And just the methodical charting of the movements of the heavens and their understanding of how the universe is, and a galaxy and a solar system are all clocks that move in ways that can be predicted and understood and anticipated. I didn't get a sense of until I went down there and spent a week with several shamans was just how they saw the cycle of the sky relating to us on Earth. And I realized that, I mean, I live in Los Angeles. I grew up in New York. I didn't grow up looking up into the heavens and seeing the stars. I saw street lights. I saw, you know, a couple of planes. And how disconnected we are today, since most of us live in areas where there's lots of light and not stars. The stars almost seem like, you know, just holes in the sky that twinkle, and it's nice. But they have a great intuitive understanding of how we are integrated with the sky. And it was shown in a tiny little way. I was taking a photo, and I had a little silver camera, and it shot a reflection of the sunlight just into the sky. And the man who was with me winced, and I wondered why he winced, because it didn't shine into his eyes or into anybody's eyes. He said, "Oh, no, it might have hurt father's son." And at first I thought, how quaint and sort of, well, you know, silly. But as I began to see their actual passion and reverence for the sky, I thought, you know what, I could learn a lesson from their feelings, if not necessarily agreeing that the sun would be hurt by, you know, by my little reflection. And it was their love for the sky that I didn't know until I went down there.
Where did they learn what they knew?
They learned it from building temples specifically oriented towards for astronomical observation. And I went to one set of temples in Tikal, which is in Guatemala, and a great former Mayan city. And they built, I guess this particular temple was about 1,500 years old, and they oriented it to track, this one was especially oriented to track Venus. And they would simply record every night, every movement. And they had a sense of when the solar system travels around the galaxy. And think about it, it's quite a great concept, you know, because just even to sort of grasp that they were members of a solar system is, to my mind, remarkable, you know, without any equipment. And they saw the hole at the center of the Milky Way as a navel, as the place where life of the galaxy issued. And now astronomers, it seems to be consensus, believe that right at the center of the Milky Way is a great black hole. You couldn't do much better than a navel for a metaphor of that. And from that black hole has issued matter that has created the stars of our galaxy. this is pretty damn close.
It is close.
Yeah. And their belief is that when our solar system travels around such that it eclipses, interposes, when the sun interposes itself between that hole at the center of the Milky Way galaxy and us, something vital will be disrupted. And it's part of a greater natural cycle, which they believe eventually will be restored. But for practical purposes, that spells trouble, or at least it's significant change. And at first I couldn't understand why, I was like, okay, sun's in the way for a minute or for a few minutes and moves, I'll hold my breath. I just didn't get it. But the best analogy was a kind of a modern technological one. And it's like, when the power goes off in your house and it comes back on, most things are fine. The lamps come back on, there's no problem. But there are a couple things that flicker and have to be reset.
Including your microwave clock.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's the way they see this disruption affecting the Earth and its inhabitants.
No question, then, that you believe whatever is going to occur, and it may not be that apocalyptic, but it's definitely some celestial event?
Yes. I'm still not sure if of the cause and effect. Like if, on December 21st, 2012, that eclipse does occur and this celestial event. I mean, I don't know how it will precipitate things, or if it's simply somehow related to the activity on the sun that just coincidentally happens to be peaking in 2012. I've tried. I just can't figure it out. But it's either a cause and effect, or it's just somehow related in some other way. But yes. There will be a celestial event, I do believe, and I also believe that 2012 will be a year. It's going to be a lulu. I don't believe that, as I said, the great off switch in the sky is going to be flicked, and everything's going to end. But I believe that there is a non-negligible chance that it will be a year unlike any other in human history.